an incredibly tragic story. Now, it's a demographic. There, you've got enough of them to where they say, hey, this is our social setting, this is our societal choice, and this is what we're doing. So leave us alone.
Well, you know what? The Christian Schrader at least is doing something, at least to find out. How about we do this? Why don't we find out what the causes are here, the real causes, and where they come from? You know, if there's one thing to help Shasta County people that are having problems, it's another to try and help people from Texas and every other place in the world that comes in here. We're going to, you know, the day center for those people on the streets at 104, 106 degrees. They can go to a day center if we had one. But what's that tell you? What's that do? Does that attract more people? Does somebody from in, you know, the up in Wairika say, hey, you know what? Down in Redding, they've got day centers. They're in air conditioning and you get food and cleaned up and all that. We don't have that here. We don't have the money. So once you head on down to Redding, well, you don't have the $7 for the bus ticket. Well, here, let me help you.
Well, I'm not. I don't know if I'm a fan of that day center or not. Anyway,
I just don't
see it. I don't see it helping the situation.
You know, in a few weeks, we're getting ready to hand over the that blue thing. Yeah, we're looking at the possibility of having a tax increase, 1% tax increase, thousands, millions of dollars in this tax increase, and yet we're not exactly sure where it's going to go, if it does pass, how it's going to be used, or any of this stuff. You know, all these things are a huge impact on how we do business here in the city. Now, should we just put our heads in holes and not do anything? Should we be trying something? Yes, absolutely. Here's applause for Kristen Schrader for that. But let's, you know, you can't just continue coming up with plans unless you have an overview. And where is it? Has anybody seen it? So I haven't even mentioned the Board of Supervisors, right? Well, I don't know. Is there a plan for the county? I'm not talking about some kind of like, we want to continue going forward. We want to continue doing this. Is there a plan, say, in 5 years? They just turned down Basenko's request for money. Or for more, you know, to have the permission to put in more beds at the new facility. Well, we don't know if we can pay for that. Well, that's interesting. Take a look at everything else we're doing around here. Is it better to get them off the streets than have them on the streets? I don't know.
It's way better to get them off the streets. Well, the key is I like what you're saying. As a matter of fact, somebody has got to lead the way. And I don't know. I kind of thought it was going to be the chief. For the longest time, and maybe he is. Maybe they're going to come out with something. If we're going to look for a tax increase, somebody's going to want to say, okay, look, we'll give you the 1 cent on a dollar, but what exactly are you going to do with it, and how do you measure your metrics and goals against the money we're giving you? I'm just not going to give you the money and have the same problems we had 5 years from now and have someone shrug their shoulders and say, hey, guess what? Just didn't work.
One of our chat room people says they're really good at funding plans. They're not really good at doing anything.
The more time
we spend on plans, less time we have to do on planning on what to do. Okay, hey, look, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back after these messages. Carl Bott, and I'm my co-host today, Ted Lighty, and we have veterinarians on today. We've got Brian Crane, the director of Public Works. We can talk about water, and we can talk about all the things that's going on, infrastructure, all those kind of things in Redding. And we'll be right back.
Summer is on us at Redding Kia with 0% financing for up to 66 months. And Kia Motors will make your first three payments for you. This summer is on us at Redding Kia on Cypress Avenue in Redding, home of the 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty and complimentary lifetime oil changes with every vehicle purchase.
It's free money. 0% financing for 66 months on all new 2015 Sedonas and 2015 Fortes and Optimas. And Kia Motors will make your first three monthly payments for you. Some restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Redding Kia wants your trade. Get more for it right now at Redding Kia. And get 0% financing for up to 66 months, and Kia Motors will make your first three monthly payments, plus government fees and taxes, any finance charges, dealer document processing charges, any emission testing charges. Must finance to Kia Motors Finance for this special offer on approval of credit, subject to prior sale, ends July 4th.
Redding Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue. This summer's on us at Redding Kia.
RedingKia.com.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability built into everything we do Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
The City of Reading Water Utility wants to help you save money and be water smart. Look at what's in your landscape and water according to the plant's needs. Shrubs and more established trees usually require less water than a lawn. Spread mulch around your plants and trees to increase the moisture retaining ability of the soil and prevent weeds. And while you're at it, adjust your irrigation controller. 4 5-minute sessions of watering may be much more efficient than watering for 20 consecutive minutes. Be water smart. Visit ReadingUtilities.com for more information. This message brought to you by the City of Reading Water Utility.
They've been rehearsing, gotten coached, and now the local dancers and their pro partners go on stage at the Cascade Theater Saturday, June 27th for the 9th annual Dancing with the Stars Shasta County Style. This huge fundraising extravaganza for One Safe Place is proudly sponsored by Dignity Health, Record Searchlight, and Shasta Regional Medical Center. Get your tickets now at the Cascade Theater, online at ospshasta.org, or at the box office. You think Dancing with the Stars was fun on TV? Wait till you see Dancing with the Stars Shasta County Style. Don't miss it.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
Charles here inviting you to enjoy Mary's new specials. We're cooking up some great new things for you to enjoy. Lemon Shrimp Linguine. It's a fresh take on shrimp scampi with a creamy white wine and lemon sauce with fresh herbs on a bed of linguine. Also, we brought some spice into the shack. Pizza a la Sriracha. Chicken with Sriracha sauce and ranch, white cheddar, pineapple, green and crispy red onions. It's pizza with a little kick. Wraps are back also. We have buffalo chicken, chicken Caesar wrap, or the turkey wrap. How about the shrimp bruschetta for an appetizer? Toasted slices, sourdough topped with shrimp and a garlic, lemon, and creamy white wine sauce, then topped with more garlic, parmesan, and parsley. Everything here at Mary's Pizza Shack is made from scratch from my grandmother's recipes. Come on in and enjoy.
Original recipes. Original Shack. Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
Grace Place Tea House is now serving gourmet teas, Pete's Coffee, and delectable treats. All proceeds from Grace Place benefit Compass Shining Care, a local nonprofit committed to extending compassion and hope, enhancing the quality of life for individuals, families, and the overall community. Right in the heart of downtown at 1448 Pine Street. So stop in, enjoy a special drink while you relax and rejuvenate. Grace Place is what we are all about, a place of grace.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and co-host Ed Lighty today. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Bob. It is 7:20 in the morning here on June the 10th. 71 degrees out there, going up to 90. Might have a little rain. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. You know, Tobacco and Brew has Espresso Joe's, which has great coffee. You name it, they have it. Anywhere from macchiatos to latte and espressos. But they also have cold drinks. And, of course, Espresso Joe's also has any type of brew and cold drink you might be looking for right there. And veterans always get discounts at Espresso Joe's. Walk next door to the finest walk-in tobacco emporium in the state. Right here at Tobacco and Brew with a cigar humidor that is just second to none. Always at Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, a veteran-owned business. Go on down there. You're really going to like it. Okay. I got something from one of our chat room people that said that. Remember the other day I talked about how ridiculous it was, how the Senate and how the politicians were going to be driven home if they had, you know, if they'd been drinking. So been out late and they've been drinking, and so to make sure none of them got arrested, and they must be going through a bunch of that. Kevin DeLeon, the Senate leader, said, "Oh, we're going to provide rides home for him." Well, I imagine he must have received some emails because they have discontinued that. There'll be no free rides home anymore. You know, this is where the power goes to people's heads. You know what? You go out and get drunk, and you're an assembly member or a senator from this state. You can have the taxpayers pay for you to go home. You know, how ridiculous is that? It is just the ultimate of in your face.
And they're boozing it up on the public dime in the first place when you come down to it.
Probably. They're getting paid for that. Okay. Tell Ted good wishes for a speedy recovery with his foot.
Oh, please.
That's what it says in here.
Oh, please.
It was. You know, I mean, you injured yourself dancing. I mean, come on, man. This could be a long-term injury.
Well, I've heard from Jarhead.
I think he's out of town. Yeah. I think he's out of town. But is the VA taking care of this for you, man?
They are. They are. I have a podiatry appointment on the 28th of July. No kidding.
Service-related.
Of course, man. In the meantime, I've got that soft cast I'm supposed to be wearing every day, but I can't take the looks. I mean, here I am, a gun guy in town, man. I've got my combat boots on every day. I'm dressed for work, and then I got this soft cast sticking out from under my tack pants. Just doesn't
and
look
they go,
right.
Hey, man, did you get injured going out there after those hogs or saving people or something? Well, no, it was when I was doing this. Dip move on the dance floor. Yeah. I shattered my ankle.
That Monica Fisher's a slave driver, man.
I tell you.
She is a slave driver. I outweigh her by 140 pounds, and she is bossing me around.
Wiped the floor up with
you.
Oh,
she did, man.
Okay.
I want to be back in
what
the
we're talking
next
about
year.
Is Ted Leidy was one of the Dancing with the Stars guys, and was out there tripping the light fantastic, and then there, it was literally had, foot, it was a fracture in your foot. It fractured your foot.
Well,
not
yeah.
from the dancing, though. I mean, this was an old injury, but this just really didn't help it.
It did not help it. I was in a lot of pain. And, of course, the first thing they want to do is cut on it. Let's get some surgery going here. No, I don't want that. I'll limp around on it for the next 2 or 3 months and see if it'll fix itself.
She wants to know if there was any video of you dancing.
But it is banned and vaulted.
Banned and vaulted?
Yeah, it's
somebody
done.
Somebody actually videoed you?
Well, yeah, I'm sure if I put it on Facebook or YouTube, somebody would report it as obscene. It was so sloppy.
Hey, Ruth. So, Ruth, yes, there is a video. Will we ever see it? Maybe 12 shots of tequila.
I did get a picture of a guy who stole a half gallon of Tai Chi the other day at Safeway, though. Yeah, I chased him out in the parking lot. It was a great story.
He stole
half a gallon of chai vanilla tea out of a cold case at Safeway.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was standing in line at U.S. Bank, and he walked in without a shirt, and I thought, there must be some regulation against it. I bet against a guy walking a grocery store with no shirt. So I just watched him. Because I had nothing else to do. I was in line. He walked straight over to the nearest cold case, picked up a half gallon of chai tea, and just did a about face and walked out the door with it. And I told the lady in the line next to me, that is not happening. I have got to get a picture of that guy. So I ran out. I chased him out. He picked up his girlfriend. And once he realized I was on his tail taking pictures with my iPhone, they ran across the parking lot. Well, I was so mad about it, I went in and complained to security. I said, hey, don't you guys care? He says, no, we don't care. What are we supposed to do?
They don't care.
We can't chase down everyone.
They can't chase them down. It happens so much. And then they go out in the parking lot. Somebody pulls a knife, and then you get,
right.
No, I mean, really.
Right.
I mean,
I get it.
We're at that point where, but they ought to bring a couple, they ought to bring, I'm telling you, I've started a new company, Retribution Incorporated, that we will clean up your, I will guarantee you we will clean your parking lots out, and you will not be bothered again.
And, that's
I'm not promising anything about lawsuits. But I promise you, your parking lots will be cleaned out. But you have to you do have to provide electricity for the tasers. Okay. Hey, you know what? Let's talk about something that is serious here. And it was in the Record Searchlight today. Record Searchlight, this article about, female suicides and women veteran suicide rate is just horrendous. It's approaching the numbers of the men, which is just totally unheard of. Women veterans. 6 times the rate, if you look at all the women veterans committing suicide, 6 times the rate of non-veterans. In that 18 to 29 age group, 18 to 24 age group, it's 12 times the rate. And so now this opens a whole, it's opening up a lot of other questions about suicides in the military. That why are there so much, you can't, like some of the suicides, they served in the 50s. They served in the 60s. So it's been such a length of time since they were in the service that, anything could happen in between there, money problems, health problems and all those things. I mean, so, that can kind of, that could be it doesn't have to be from service connected. But they did show, and they're getting ready, they're parsing this down, is people that are drafted, you know, military draftees, mm-hmm. suicide rate is the same as non-veterans, just about the same. It's the volunteers, you know, all volunteer army, all volunteer services, their rate's higher.
Well, you got.
Isn't this interesting?
Well, you have to kind of look at that. That's kind of fun with statistics, though.
Yeah,
because
that
think
is.
About
that's true.
The draftees. You know, they were drafted for a short amount of time in the 60s and early 70s. Per capita, they're not a large population as far as all of the volunteers go. I mean, we've been all volunteers since 75, I believe. So you got all of those years of all volunteer service. So they're kind of really outnumbered.
Well, they are, but they're just looking, I think, at those percentages of the draftees, the ones that are drafted, though, from back in the 60s and 50s and all this. And, the another misnomer is they think is most of the war in Vietnam was fought with draftees, which wasn't true.
No.
There was a number of draftees, but most were volunteers.
Sure.
First of all, they could, a lot of them just enlisted because they knew they were going to get drafted, so they maybe picked their services or whatever happened. But what they're trying to do, and they're parsing these numbers out, and we're going to go into this a lot more, and we're going to try and get some mental health professionals in here, is that the people enlisting may have a different type background and a different type of mindset when you enlist in the military than, say, a person that doesn't.
Well, and I think the other one thing that we may have to explore is the fact that when they come back from Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever they happen to be serving, I believe that the VA is a little gun shy, and so the VA now is taking everybody in and maybe over treating them a little bit and telling them, hey, you really do have PTSD, so I need to put you on a program. And then all of a sudden, whereas they might have got better on their own, maybe they're now in this long program where someone says, hey, man, you're broken mentally. Broken.
If somebody tells you things long enough.
That's right.
But even then, they say it's 25% of – they say around 20 to 24% of those that are coming – they're coming back with – that have post-traumatic stress.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
Without a doubt.
But that's – that's only that's 25%. And of that 25%, how much of that PTSD is pretty much treatable or doesn't need to be treated? It's just something that has to be recognized.
It's the highest in the history of our country.
I know. Well, then, but here's my question is, now when you're looking at the suicide thing, they're saying that the people coming in have somewhat of a different mindset. What is our baseline for post-traumatic stress disorder? We don't look at them when they come in and check them if they have post-traumatic stress.
No.
So if they're saying they're coming in and, that there's things that have happened in their lives to a lot of them that they have a kind of common background. Maybe we need to check on those who are coming in with post-traumatic stress. And in the military is going to just exacerbate. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, and yeah, and I was.
That's what the sergeant major's for, sir.
My tongue was stuck. Maybe the military service makes it magnifies it. And then, but it also treats it with the band of brothers concept of family. I mean, the first one, a lot of their families. And then when they get out, all of that's gone.
Yes.
At one time.
It is a difficult transition. Yeah. I never thought it would be difficult, but it's difficult.
It is difficult. Sometimes you can't leave and you go back.
That's very, very true. That's very true.
The hey, this weekend, the Amtrak exhibit train is coming to Dunsmuir for Railroad Days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, June 13th, this Saturday, it's pulling into Dunsmuir Amtrak station from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Meet Amtrak representatives at the station and hop aboard for a free self-guided tour through Amtrak's past, present, and future. And for the youngest rail fans, they stop off at Chuggington Kids Depot, featuring toy trains and coloring tables. It's got it all. All this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Dunsmuir. What a great place to go to and look at trains.
Oh, yeah. Railroad Days up in Dunsmuir is just awesome. I've gone on a couple of occasions, and they've got a nice place to hold it down there. And you see, it's if they're holding the same place, it's a working rail yard. It's beautiful.
There you go.
If you're into that sort of thing.
Well, woo-woo. Can you make railroad sounds now, Bob?
I just record them and play them.
Okay, all right. Hey, it's 7:31 in the morning. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with our veterinarian. We're going to be talking animals when we come back.
Perfect.
All aboard Dunsmuir to celebrate Amtrak Train Days. On Saturday, June 13th, the Amtrak exhibit train is pulling into the Dunsmuir Amtrak station from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Meet Amtrak representatives at the station and hop aboard for a free self-guided tour through Amtrak's past, present, and future. For the youngest rail fans, stop off at the Chuggington Kids Depot, featuring toy train and coloring tables. After touring the train, explore the festivities featuring kids' activities and live music. There's something that's bound to strike a chord for everyone Saturday, June 13th in Dunsmuir.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate.
Brought to you by Trinity Pest Control, Giles Insurance, and Summit Funding.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month, next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Linda's on assignment today, so I have Command Sergeant Major Ted Lighty with me today.
Hua.
You know what? I can't even tell you what hua means. I mean, I know what it means, but I can't say it over the air.
Hua means anything but no.
Yeah, okay.
You ask me any question.
It means anything but no?
Anything but no.
That's right. So why'd you quit dancing? Oh, no. Okay, never mind.
It has to be a closed-ended question.
It has to be a yes or no answer.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Someplace maybe you should have gone to have your foot treated.
Or you can give me directions. You can just tell me something and I'll say, hua. That means I understand. I'm moving out.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, ranked a top 100 hospital in the nation for 3 years in a row. You know what? And their cardiac unit's been in the top 50 in the nation here. Shasta Regional is treating people well. 70 years in the business and great people over there. The emergency room, the way you're treated in the emergency room from everybody I've talked to that's walked through there or been carried in there has been magnificent. Shasta Regional Medical Center does a lot for our community. Okay. We have with us Dr. Kara Tennant. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
Okay, I believe you may be the first veterinarian that we've had on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I really think so. Do you remember, Bob? Did we ever have another? I mean, it's been 6 years, like 1,500 guests, and my mind kind of leaves after a while.
I think if she's not the first, she's only about the second or so.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not the first. Okay. And Dr. Tennant, Kara Tennant, and you work at?
the Care Animal Hospital.
Care Animal Hospital, mm-hmm. which confused me totally when we first met because I thought it was, she named the hospital after herself. Okay, you know, I mean, it's her business. Why not? So how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, you know what? It's, you know, it's kind of hard to walk into the hurricane when you've got both of us here in the morning here, my my father and myself. Ted, the how did you become a veterinarian?
Oh, man.
Tell us about you. Where did you come from?
I grew up in Sacramento.
Okay.
Always knew I wanted to be a vet.
California girl.
That's right. I went to college down at UC Riverside.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to St. George's University in Grenada. I wanted to travel and I wanted to kind of see the world being young, you know, and so I did 3 years at St. George's and then my
Grenada.
Last year in Grenada.
So you're too young, though, to have been there when the Marines came down and visited down there and rescued everybody.
The Marines rescued everybody?
Oh, yeah. See, you know,
you better check on that.
The fact was there were some Army guys there, but the press travels with the Marines. You know, what can I say?
That's very true because they don't want to get real dirty.
You know what?
Oh, no.
You know, my favorite part of that is when they were evacuating. There was an Army Ranger evacuating them, helping them into trucks. It says, U.S. Marines evacuating medical students. Okay. All right, let's get past that.
1983, by the way.
That's right. Well, that's before right. you. Were you even born in 1983?
I was 4 years old.
Okay. All right. So, you went to, it's been veterinarian school?
Yep.
There in Grenada. And
yep.
then
I went to the University of Edinburgh in Scotland.
Oh, my gosh.
For a year.
We were there.
Last August.
Oh, August is such a nice time to be there.
That's awesome.
It's one of the extended time periods of 2 days where it doesn't rain.
Yeah. And you see the sun?
And you saw that
a brief
we
period
saw
of time.
The sun. And the beach is where the Chariots of Fire was filmed there on that beach.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, I mean, they ran along that beach there. Did you know that?
I loved it. No, I don't think I went on that excursion.
Oh, no, that's right. You were in a
pub.
I went on the pub crawl excursion. He found 8 different ways of drinking scotch.
That's right.
Anyway,
I love that town. That's the place to go for that.
I know a number of, it seems like I've run into people who of around your age that have been to the University of Edinburgh. In fact, my niece went there.
Your niece went there?
Went to University of Edinburgh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And, she's married. She's a married niece, married my nephew. But I'm not sure when she would have gone through there. It might have been around the time you did, but we'll talk about that off the air. So after the University of Edinburgh, more veterinarian?
Yep, so that was my final year. So that's where we do our clinical rotations. We do that for a year and then take all your boards and graduate, and then you can practice. And so then,
okay. Now you have to take boards here in the United States too, though, right? I mean, you take boards over there to graduate, and then you come here and you take boards.
That's right.
Were they easier or harder?
Oh, they were all hard.
Oh, you know what? You know what? She is okay. We have a really nice, big smile on her face. When I asked her that, she kind of gave me that look, like, "Oh yeah, they're all hard." And I'm like, "Okay." Anyway, so. How'd you end up here in Reading?
Okay, so after I graduated,
I can understand you in Edinburgh. I can understand you in Grenada.
Oh, yeah.
But okay, how'd you come up here?
Okay, so I moved to the DC area and lived there for about 10 years and practiced. And then my parents still live in Sacramento, and I just wanted to spend more time with them. You know, they're getting older.
I'm not going to ask you how old they are because I'd be embarrassed. So,
I didn't think she had 10 years of work experience. She looked so young.
So nice.
So you started heading west again.
Yeah. So I decided to move back out west and interviewed in Reading, and I had never spent any time here, and I thought it was one of the most beautiful places ever. And I don't know why I haven't spent any time here. And so as soon as I did my interview here, and I said I'm going to move here, it's beautiful.
Isn't it?
It is, and there's so many things to do. I love to run and bike, and it is an outdoor playground.
It is an outdoor playground. A lot of people, my wife and I, Linda and I, decided to stay here 8 years ago, and we've never looked back. We really, really like it here. Ted, you could have gone anywhere.
Oh, absolutely.
You could have gone
there's
anywhere.
There's a lot to do here, and I'm thankful.
Yeah, they came back.
Got mountains all around us, water ski, snow ski.
You can go awesome. Snow ski and be in the ocean the same day.
In the same
day. It's kind of a drive, but you can do that. Okay, do you have a specialty? I mean, some people have, you know, like they do exotic birds.
I don't do exotic birds. I just work on small animals, so dogs and cats.
Okay,
so I'll see the occasional small furry, like a hamster or rabbit.
Ferrets.
Ferrets?
Yeah, ferrets.
Well, they're actually, yeah, they are.
They're illegal here.
Mm-hmm.
So why can you buy food for them?
I don't know.
I don't know either, because
well,
people have ferrets.
You can go up to, I think, Oregon or Washington and get them. Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, you can go out probably live trap one out in the woods. One of those endangered ones. Probably bring it home.
Live trap a ferret.
Are you authorized to? Are you authorized to treat ferrets?
I think we can, and we don't. We don't. We don't report that.
You know,
good. That's important.
Is it,
they're
because,
probably listening
well, because,
right now. Saying,
well, because they're
ferret.
Here. They're here illegally, and the next thing you know, you turn them into ice. You know, and say, hey, I've got an illegal ferret here. You know, but you can't tell me. But it has a gun. Did you? Do they have little gang tattoos? Little ferret gang tattoos? No, okay.
No, right. But they're issued driver's licenses now.
Okay. Yeah, and you know what? And you can get a scholarship to college in a legal ferret.
Yep, yep.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, doctor. Maybe the wrong day to come here.
Yeah.
So you've always wanted to help animals. You've traveled all over the world to go to school. You're back in D.C. for 10 years and back out here, and you're ready. And what is your is there a breed that you really – or a certain – dogs, cats? Which one – what's your favorite? I mean, though you probably – okay, I forget. I take back that question, okay? I take that question back because every time I ask a veterinarian, they just stare at me. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to ask that question.
Got it.
Okay, because this is not – because she's got to act like she likes all of them, right?
Oh, I love them.
You missed your chance. You should have said, oh, ferrets.
She said she didn't work on birds.
Okay. What would you say the biggest problem we have facing as animal owners?
I think it's really tough to prepare for the cost of preventative care and accidents. What I see, I don't see a lot of preventative care. So that's, you know, just like a wellness exam with vaccines. I see a lot of illness. And hit by cars, cat bite, abscesses, wounds, really, really sick pets. So by the time I see them, you know, I'm giving a treatment plan, and it is so expensive to do that. And I think that's one of the toughest things for me because, you know, I love these animals and I really want to help them, but I can't
well, you know,
always,
so
too.
What you're saying then is it should be kind of like humans,
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, you get a checkup every 6 months. They look at your teeth. You know, you listen to their heart and mm-hmm. all this. And then you can kind of give a, you know, say, hey, you know what? Obesity in animals. Is mm-hmm. that a big problem?
Oh, that is a huge problem. I'd say probably 75% of the animals I see are overweight or obese.
Okay. Is that because
75%.
We just...
75%.
Huh? 75%. Yeah, I know. They're little couch potatoes. They sit there. And you take your dog. I'm not. No, this,
oh,
no. No, stop talking about your dog.
You
I don't want
to. My dog's name is?
What?
It's Carl.
Carl?
Yeah.
What kind of dog?
It's Carl's namesake. He's a Shiba Inu Golden Lab mix, and he has a little roll of fat around his tail, just like you have in the picture in your office. He doesn't do much, really.
Oh. Stands at you when you come in the door. Their watchdogs is at the top of the stairs barking at you. And then when you go up to him, he goes, you want to know where the silver is?
Yeah.
I know an open safe now.
Yeah.
Okay. So 75%, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, look, we got to take a break. And you're saying, thank God. Now, if Kara's still back with us after the break, we want to talk some more about the treatment of animals, things that you see, and how people can keep their animals healthy. So that it won't cost them $1 million when they come in. Something I never did understand before until I got my very first dog when I got married. Linda, on our anniversary, wanted a dog. So we bought Elk Killer. The people here have got questions, too, for you that I can read to you. The doctor cannot get specific. If there's something specific in here, you're going to need to go down and see her. But, you know, we're just talking generalities. All right, we'll be right back after these messages. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right across from Sierra Gibbs. Any type of jewelry you can imagine, he has. If you're looking for a specific object a specific piece of jewelry and he does not have that, Leonard will find it for you. And he is, I mean, literally connections all throughout the world to be able to do this. He's open Monday through Friday from 9:30 to 4. And there's always some kind of great deal going on at Four Winds Jewelry. Estate jewelry is his specialty, and the only trained watch repairman in the whole area is at Four Winds Jewelry. Again, 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Reading. We'll be right back after these messages.
The District Fair, June 17th through the 20th. Save up to 30% on admission tickets and carnival ride wristbands. Go to ShastaDistrictFair.com to purchase your advance tickets now and save. The Shasta District Fair opens Wednesday, June 17th.
Captain Eric Lawrence needed help after a paralyzing injury in Afghanistan.
PVA helped me write my resume, got me a job interview. I got the job.
To learn more, visit PVA.org. A public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
So, Brenda, guess what?
Oh, what now?
Boomer Tech Radio is changing a little bit again.
Oh, my gosh. Just like keeping up with technology. Can't keep up with Boomer Tech Radio.
Right now, every Saturday from noon until 2 o'clock, you can listen to Boomer Tech Radio for 2 hours back-to-back right here on KCNR 1460. And we are brought to you every week by
Advanced Automotive.
Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. So listen every Saturday for Boomer Tech Radio, noon to 2, right here on KCNR 1460.
It'll help you keep up with technology.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9
on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Your Petroleum Company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I have seen a big increase in the ethanol-free 93, so everyone's starting to do yard work. So come on in and fill up your jugs. We got another load of barbecue bottles in, so come in and grab an extra one. We just got a fresh load of race car fuel and methanol for all the off-highway tractor guys, red diesel, hydraulic oil, grease in barrels and tubes. We do sell bulk oil. If you need a quart or 55 gallons, we got you covered. If you need an extra storage tank, give us a call. We have a few used ones and comm vaults. Northern Lights Energy, where you can still talk to real people and not answering machines. Farm, ranch, logging, and construction, we cover them all. Corning, Weaverville, Reading, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Hi, Patty.
Shh. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Oh, you can't hear that. You have to put on your headphones.
The one with the waggly tail.
Oh, isn't that cute?
How much is
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott. And today, retired Army Command Sergeant Major Ted Lighty is with us. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years with outstanding service to all makes and models of air conditioning and heating systems. Let me tell you, I've been telling y'all for months, before this hot weather hit, call Martin and his people, because once it hits, he is booked through the rest of the year. And he can come out there and he can fix filters. He can do all this stuff. Now, Emergencies, give him a call. He will treat you like family, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It's a veteran-owned business. He treats everybody very, very well. And he is our guy of choice out here, Alliance Heating and Air. Give him a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Our guest today is Dr. Kara Tennant from the Care Animal Hospital on Hilltop, right? And we've been asking Kara, you know, different questions about, and what's the biggest thing that people face? And she has pointed out, she says, most people do not plan for their health care of their animals. And it ends up coming in as an emergency or something, and then it's emergency treatments, and it's extremely expensive. Mm-hmm. So simple, treating them like you would yourself and going to see the vet every 6 months or so to have their teeth checked and heart looked at and whatever else you all do. Do you draw blood?
We do.
And you can take a little look at theirs and I'll see if maybe you'll tell them to cut back on the cigarettes or maybe just one bourbon a night. I'm sorry. When you have animals that come into your office, are there certain animals that when they walk in, you just start sweating?
There are two breeds. Okay. A Chow and a Shar Pei.
Really?
And, you know, I have seen so many animals, but I have yet to see a Chow that will let me pet him without trying to bite me and a Shar Pei that will let me pet them without trying to bite me. And
really?
I've met Shar Pei Pit Bull mixes who are the sweetest things ever, but a straight Shar Pei, we have to muzzle them.
Wow.
They're so protective. You know, that's their job. Their job is to protect.
I heard from two veterinarians that if a Dalmatian comes in their office, the first thing they do is put a muzzle on it. He says, the dog will be sitting there smiling, wagging its tail, and then whack. So you're saying it's Shar Pei's then. And I've heard other veterinarians go, well, you know, and all of you have a different kind of breed that seems to be the one that, if it gets a chance, will chew your fingers.
That's right. For me, it's a Chow and a Shar Pei. And those are the two. And everything else, it gets the benefit of the doubt.
Gets the benefit of the doubt. Oh, nice dog. Muzzle it. muzzle it. Trust me. Cats
seem to be the most non-social of all the animals. Do you see that? I mean, they really don't like strangers.
You know, and cats are so sensitive. They hate to have their environment changed. So when you take them into the vet, then it makes them really scared. But it's important. It's important to bring them in, and it's tough for the owners to bring them in too because the cats don't like it. I understand that. My two cats hate coming in also.
Do people keep their animals alive too long?
You know, there have been some cases where I really felt like that it was too long. But that's the owner's decision, and my job is to help guide them and make that decision.
Make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
That's tough, huh?
It's tough.
And, you know, I've thought about it because I've seen people that their dog, see if their dog or their cat. But there's instances when, you know, that we look at it as, in a completely different sense because we project human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, I see a dog goes by our house every day with three legs. Dog looks real happy. Jumps up and down. Dog doesn't know he has three legs, but doesn't seem to affect the dog.
And dogs do great.
Dogs do great. Yeah. It's just. Are you constantly amazed at animals?
All the time.
Even after being in a business like this?
Yes, and it's been, you know, it's been almost 10 years, and there's still things that walk in the door that, number one, I don't know what it is. And Reading has some pretty cool cases.
Like what? Okay, you threw that one out there.
Give us a rundown.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Let's hear it.
We've got 5 minutes, so give us a 2 minutes.
Oh, I'm going to have to think of it. There've been so many because I've only been here for a few months.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you say cases, let me heat. We've hit this now.
Yeah.
We talk all the time. We have humane rules through here. Everybody talks about do not leave that animal in the car. Nor your baby, nor your grandparents, or anybody else, which people have a tendency to do. But, you get a lot of heat cases?
We do see a lot of heat stroke, and mainly in dogs.
Right.
And they don't always have to be in the car, but, you know, they can just be outside in the sun or even in the shade when it's, 105 degrees outside. And it is.
In certain kind of dogs, it hits a lot harder.
You know, if, for me, I feel like the majority of cases I see are the bigger dogs, mm-hmm. like a Lab or a Great Dane or a Mastiff or these really big guys. I don't see a lot of Chihuahuas coming in with heat stroke.
Right.
But maybe it's because, you know, the owners are carrying them around.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's because they're not going to leave their they're not going to sit out in the car. That little dog goes in with them. I'm thinking of like bulldogs and those heavily muscled dogs
sure.
that will, you know, they can't throw off the heat like that.
And it's not just in the cars. A case out of Chico in Bidwell Park, Upper Bidwell Park, a couple of dogs on the trail. Suffered heat stroke, one of them tragically dying before he could be treated. And that just happened the other day.
Linda took Elk Killer for a walk. And around this little lake, there's up here someplace. And she said halfway around, she was panting so hard, she picked her up and got her in a car and was trying to get down to the vets, any vet, to see, because she was worried.
Yeah.
And got him home, got her home. And because she's got a double coat. Yeah, so it's a type of thing. She retains heat. So people should really be aware of that.
Yeah, and the only way they can lose heat is by sweating through the pads of their feet or by panting. They don't have the sweat glands like we do. So you can put cool water on their feet.
How about if you put cool water on their body like this and fan them? Does that help?
It can help. Definitely don't do ice water, but cool water can help cool them down.
Do you see many Havanese dogs?
We do see a lot of Havanese.
Okay, in your practice.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your phone number there?
It's area code 530-244-2287.
Care Animal Hospital on Hilltop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got like 2 minutes left. What do you want people to, you know, what would you tell people, you know, about their animals?
As far as what I recommend?
Yeah.
Preventive care is huge. So first of all, if you get a puppy, bring them straight to the vet and talk to them about vaccines. Because parvo... I've never seen so many parvo cases in my life, and parvo can actually be prevented.
Parvo is?
Parvo is a virus that attacks the intestines that causes vomiting and diarrhea in puppies,
okay.
And it can kill them very fast.
Right, dehydrates them and all this. So you can give them a shot to prevent that?
Mm-hmm.
And parvo's in the dirt and ground and everything.
Oh, it is. And you can still get it even if your puppy is vaccinated.
Okay.
So keep your puppy away from public places. Don't take them to PetSmart or Petco or dog parks.
So there's just a number of different subjects we can talk about over, you know, in the upcoming months that, you know, parvo, heartworm, preventative, you know, techniques and all of these that having a veterinarian on, you know, it's kind of like, you know, people have questions and they can come in and ask questions either in chat room or give us a call.
I'm a big proponent of keeping cats indoors. I don't believe in turning them out because I think they're going to live longer, healthier, and safer if you keep them indoors. A lot of people say, oh, it's cruel to the cat. Cat don't know.
Cat doesn't know. Dr. Kara Tennant from the Care Animal Hospital. Is it Animal Hospital?
Mm-hmm.
On Hilltop. And give us your phone number one more time.
It's 244-2287.
Maybe next time though, you could be a little more happier and more outgoing, huh?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
You notice that?
Yeah. Okay.
Notice that?
Yeah, not such a bummer, Karen.
Yeah.
You know.
Thank you for having me.
Well, of course. Hey, look, after the break, we're going to have Brian Crane, who is the Director of Public Works here in the city of Reading. And there's a lot of public works questions that people have, I'm sure. We'll be right back after the news. It's 8 o'clock here on June the 10th. About 72 degrees out there. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Bott and Command Sergeant Major Ted Whitey.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Many state and federal law enforcement officers have been conducting a ground and aerial search in a rural area 30 miles southeast of that northern New York prison where two murderers escaped. Willsboro, New York Town Supervisor Sean Gilliland.
There are lots and lots of law enforcement officers from Department of Corrections and state police, you know, state forest rangers, U.S. Marshals, County Sheriff's Department. They have an area that they're, you know, trying to actively search, and there's dogs and there's a helicopter.
The search was intensified after residents reported seeing a couple of men walking in the town Monday night during a driving rainstorm and that they might be the suspects. Also at SRNNews.com, accident investigators say that the engineer who was driving that Amtrak train that derailed in Philadelphia was not using his cell phone in the moments before the accident. That only deepens the mystery, though, of what actually caused it. Eight people were killed, about 200 more seriously injured in the May 12th derailment. The House has passed a fifth of what will be about a dozen appropriations bills that may consider this term, this one dealing with transportation, housing, and urban development.
Ignoring a threat of a White House veto and a mini-rebellion by conservatives, House Republicans late Tuesday night approved a $55.3 billion spending plan that, among other things, slashes Amtrak's budget by some $250 million, cuts funding for infrastructure improvements, and relaxes size and weight restrictions for trucks. The bill also contains a rider that restricts the administration's plans to normalize relations with Cuba if now goes to the Senate.
That's SRN's Wally Hines reporting. On Wall Street, it's been a booming session so far for the major indexes. The Dow Jones Industrial Average coming off four consecutive losing sessions. In fact, today, it started at the opening bell lower than it was at the beginning of the year, but right now it's a Dow up 183, and this is SRN News.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
Your local pharmacist is also a Health Mart pharmacist, and they're not like other pharmacists.
After Mom's surgery, I was overwhelmed, but I was so relieved. Her Health Mart pharmacist was there to help. They explained her medication and even delivered to her house. Mom got the personal service she needed, and I got something even better. Peace of mind.
Visit HealthMart.com to find a locally owned Health Mart pharmacy near you. Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
Closer look at the financial markets with the Dow Jones Industrial Average high and continuing to rise. Now it's gone up about 20 points in the last 2 minutes. It's up by 200 points at this hour. Pakistan has put to death a man who was just 15 years old when he was sentenced to death for murder and who, according to human rights groups, may have been tortured into making his confession to begin with.
Aftab Bahadur Masih was hanged before dawn in the eastern city of Lahore, despite appeals by human rights groups to stay the execution. At the time of his hanging, he had already spent 23 years, more than a life sentence, in jail. His lawyer said he did not get a fair trial, and two witnesses who implicated him in the crime have since retracted their statements.
That report from the BBC's Shahzeb Jalali in Karachi, Pakistan. Egyptian officials say there was no immediate word on casualties, at least four people injured after a suicide bombing. This is SRN News. Federal health advisors are recommending approval for a highly anticipated cholesterol drug, but with the caveat that more data is needed about its long-term ability to reduce heart attacks.
A panel of experts voted 13-3 to recommend the Food and Drug Administration approve Sanofi and Regeneron Pharmaceuticals' injectable drug. But in a surprising development, a number of panelists said the drug should only be used in patients with abnormally high cholesterol levels caused by an inherited disorder. Before it's used more broadly, most panelists said they wanted to see more data about whether the drug ultimately reduces heart problems.
That's SRN's Keith Peters. Tesla Motors not going on an autopilot, but it will test that feature on some of its cars. CEO Elon Musk says the company plans to let some drivers start testing an autopilot feature at the end of the month. He also told investors at the annual meeting the company will be rolling out its new SUV, the Model X, in 3 to 4 months. More details at SRNnews.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Linda Bott, except Linda is on assignment, so I have retired Army Command Sergeant Major Ted Leidy with me here today. Hua. Whatever that means. I know what it means, but I can't say it on the air. Welcome back. It's 8:06 in the morning here, June the 10th. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Bad Bob, explain the weather to me, please.
Explain it? Well, you would have to ask my wife about that. She's been at it for 30 years, and she's still not sure.
Tell me what you think that's going
to
happen
mix
today.
Mix of clouds and sun this morning. Stray thunderstorm. We have to see if we can get a leash on that this afternoon. 91 degrees and partly cloudy skies tonight with continued chance of thunderstorms. Low of 67. Warms up again tomorrow with a high around 105. And by Friday, we could be pushing into the well into the triple digits with an estimated high of 109. Ouch. On Friday. Right now in Reading, we are at 74 degrees. The report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Way, a veteran-owned business where their customers, it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Locally owned and operated, like I said, and veteran-owned, senior and veterans discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. Let me tell you that last night I slept like a little log. Last night on my sleep number bed. You know, my sleep number setting is 45. Linda's sleep number setting is 40. And having the dual air technology allows us to pick the firmness we want on our beds, as you know. It's made in America, guaranteed, and is the number one mattress according to Consumer Reports. And is you can get them right here, of course, in Reading at the Sleep Number store. And during this time frame, you can pick up a Sleep Number mattress and with Sleep IQ technology and save well over $600 on this mattress. And Sleep IQ technology is something you don't have to do anything. It's just part of the bed if you choose to have that. And it can help you by giving you suggestions, sends you little text messages about not using caffeine before you go to bed, you know, get off the computer, and all these things. It's really pretty cool. I mean, this is kind of setting the bar really high for sleep. And sleep is one of the three parts of being healthy, sleep, diet, and exercise. So all of this. Sleep Number, right here in the Target Shop Center. Go over and see Brian or Janice or any of the professionals there.
I want you to know I went and tried it out.
And?
I went and tried it out, Sleep Number bed. Like I went to the store. Because we talk about it a lot.
We talk about it a lot.
And it was pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome. You know what? It's something that is...
After they woke you up and told you to go, was it all
yeah, good? You were there for, 10 hours, right?
I was there for a long time because, to be honest with you, it is there really comfortable. And I also like the ones that are motorized.
They go up and down?
You can adjust your...
Yeah. The only thing is the one who controls the remote controls the world.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Feet up, head up, whatever.
Feet up,
awesome.
Head up. And put catch in the middle. All right, Sleep Number. Hey, we're here today with the head of the Reading Public Works, Brian Crane. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
Brian's a good guy. And we've had Brian on
before.
I think
so.
He's like a good guy. Brian, you look like somebody that everybody knows, right? People have come up to you probably 1,000 times and said you look like.
You know, it's surprising people say I look like someone they know. They don't have a name, but they say, I know I've met you before, but...
You have a face that's on TV
or
in entertainment. You do. And it's maybe not the main character, but it's in everything you see.
It's a good-looking guy like Richard Gere or something like that, but...
Are we going to start comparing Richard Gere here? Probably not.
No.
But no.
It's on its way.
We won't go the Brad Pitt route or any of that.
Okay.
But you do look like – I know people tell you that because there's somebody out there, and I can't grasp the name right now, that you do look like.
Okay.
What is the Public Works? What comes under Public Works?
Public Works is our wet utilities, water, wastewater, storm drain, as well as transportation. That's streets and roads, as well as the Reading Area Bus Authority. And then we are the city's engineer, too. So we engineer all the capital improvements from our facilities, as well as parks and solid waste and other facilities in the city.
Okay. So you've got it all, then.
We've got quite a bit.
You've got a lot of it.
Got quite a bit.
Let's start with a big one, water. I mean, we're in the middle of this drought. We're cutting back on water. Tell us about it.
Water's a big issue right now. Obviously, the state of California is in a historic drought. This is several years into it. We don't have water statewide. And we are in an area here in Northern California that's water plentiful. But yet, we still are doing our best to help the rest of the state. The state has set regulations to where the governor's targeted statewide. We want to, from a municipal industrial water conservation standpoint, reduce our water use by 25%. The State Water Board has said, okay, they took a one-size-fits-all approach and mandated the city of Reading drop our water use by 36%. So we're scrambling trying to make that happen.
How can we do that? What do people have to do?
Well, we're doing really well right now, and I'll get into that. But okay. Obviously the things that people do have to do is follow our regulation. Last summer, we adopted a new water shortage contingency plan. We updated it a little bit this April. But the big thing is outdoor water use. You can do things indoors, but the most of your water use is outdoors. For example, during the wintertime, you use about 10, the typical Reading resident uses about 10 or 11 hundred cubic feet inside the home. That's basically what they do during the wintertime. They're not irrigating outside. During the summertime, that swells to over 3,600 cubic feet. So that difference, that 2,500 cubic feet, is outdoor landscaping. It's watering the lawn, it's the shrubs, it's things like that. So that's where we're really targeting and reducing. And
so the rules then are Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Is that right?
You don't know?
Well, I'm doing the Monday.
I've got to send someone by your house, I think, yeah. Make sure.
Well, do that because I do Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. And after 6 p.m. and before 6 a.m.
Well,
it's like 15 minutes.
Actually, what the law is, and this is code in the city of Reading, is that if you're an even address, you are Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and your time is from midnight to 7 a.m. in the morning on that day, and then again from 9 p.m. to midnight. And then if you're an odd address, you're Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. So Monday is actually a day off. Nobody's supposed to water on Monday.
Wednesday, Friday, Sunday.
Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, if you're an odd address.
Okay. Are you odd?
I'm not going to tell you, but it doesn't make any difference. Because
I think you are even, if I remember correctly.
I think so.
Yeah. Hmm.
Well, it's got an 8 in it. But the main part I'm getting, though, is right about cutting back on that to 3 days a week. I saw where the mayor said that. She thought something I was talking about saving water, and she said, well, that means I think I can do that because I'm watering 5 days a week. And when she said that, I thought, mayor?
Yeah.
So not everybody's gotten the word. So not everybody's gotten the word.
It's kind of a volunteer program right now because I don't see anybody out enforcing it.
Well, it is, and that's a big part of what we're trying to implement is stronger enforcement. Right now it is more reaction enforcement. We get a phone call. We go out and check it out. We issue a warning first time. We issue a second warning, a letter. And then third is the actual citation. We haven't actually got to a point where we're issuing citations, but we've issued several hundred door hanger warnings, and we've issued letters of warning also. So we are actively responding to calls, but we're also in the process of hiring help to actually set up the city into quadrants and go out and proactively enforce.
Okay.
So that's
coming. So it's 9 to midnight.
9 to midnight.
And midnight to 6.
Midnight to 7 a.m.
7 a.m. Both, you can water twice.
You can water twice.
During that time. For length of time?
Much as you want.
Really?
Wow.
But it is those 3 days a week.
Right.
And our expectation is that people will, just by watering 3 days a week, their water use will go down quite a bit. And so far, we've had pretty good results. Last year, in 2014, when we only had half the year with mandatory enforcement, the rest was just voluntary, we cut our water use by 17%. That was over 4,400 acre-feet of water, which put us out of 411 urban water suppliers in the state of California, we were 25th. So we did a good job in saving a quantity of water last year. This year, we're doing even better. So far this year, we're at around 25%, I think. 25%, but for the month of June, which is just a week old, which is the state is counting now. If we don't get to our 36%, they say they're going to look at our program and require us to make changes to our program, maybe even fine us. But we're required now to get 36%. Last week we were over 42. So we did really well this last week. Now we had good weather last week. The rains last night helped us.
Yeah.
So hopefully that continues. But still, even for the month of May, we were over 28%.
Well, good. So we're doing what we have to do. We got to take a break here, Charles. Hang on till after the break, and we'll have you. We'll ask you get you on the air as soon as we come back. Our guest is Brian Crane, who is the director of Public Works for here in Reading. And if you have water anywhere in your property, or if you drive anywhere in the city, it comes under him. So, and there's probably a couple other things, you know, if you ride the bus. All of this with our guest, Brian Crane. We'll be right back after these messages.
Trouble finding cute clothes and accessories in town? Look no further than Dandelion Boutique in our very own downtown Reading. Specializing in the hottest brands from Spanx to Alex and Ani, and of course, a huge selection of Brighton jewelry, perfect to make any gift or occasion memorable. So come say hi to the girls of Dandelion at their new spot, 1322 Pine Street, or call 247-1292. Dandelion, unique gifts and more.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
Summer is here and it's time to enjoy the great outdoors. Whether you're headed to the lake, Bernie Falls, going fishing, or throwing a barbecue, Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop for summer fun. Stop by the meat department for the best prices around and try our own country sausage made in-store. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 drinks to choose from, and we barbecue every Friday all summer long. So take up a tri-tip, rack of ribs, barbecue chicken, or a Polish dog. Stop by the deli for fried chicken or a sandwich made just the way you like it. We are a locally owned and operated family company at 299 and Deschutes in Bella Vista. Mighty Fine Foods, your one-stop shop on the way to the lake.
Hey, it's Ernie and Dave with a major announcement.
Swap and Sell has moved.
Entertainment for the whole family.
Right. Swap and Sell has moved to 8 to 9 every Saturday morning right here on KCNR.
We talk about yard sales, garage sales, or if you're having a non-commercial fundraiser, join us 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every Saturday.
We're here. That's Swap and Sell with Ernie and Dave right here on KCNR 1460 AM radio.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
Adamson's Peak Performance is our gym of choice. There is nothing better than to feel in shape, and that can make you feel on top of the world. Adamson's Peak Performance. No gimmicks, no games, no hypes. Make workouts fun at Adamson's Peak Performance, located at 3050 C Street. Give them a call at 221-8006. That's Adamson's Peak Performance.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
And I wonder, still I wonder, who stopped the rain?
Yeah, who's stopping the rain? Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Bott and co-host today, guest co-host, retired Command Sergeant Major Ted Lighty from the Army. Good morning, everybody. It's 8:21 in the morning. 605-4567 is our phone number. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Bob, check the stream again, because I have somebody coming in here who's wondering about sound. If the stream's on,
it's on. They should reboot
their
browser.
Reboot your computer there. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. Started this business 6 years ago during the downturn in the economy and yet has managed to be a big success here. Why? Customer service. He and his wife have put on a show there that has everything for everybody if you're interested in firearms. Classes, they have pistols, long guns, shotguns, anything you can imagine, and all the accoutrements for shooting. All at Bastiani Arms. Give them a call at 222-8222 or just stop by. 2539 Larkspur, right here in Reading. Bastiani Arms. Our guest is Reading Public Works Director Brian Crane. And let's go to the phones. Charles, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm wondering if there are any plans by the water utility to punish conservation the same way that Reading Electric Utility right now has a plan that they're floating around to specifically punish anybody who uses less than 977 kilowatt hours per month. And I'm wondering if there are any plans even being, even being thought of at the water utility to do anything similar to the bait and switch plan that RU is trying to propose.
Okay, Charles, thank you.
We have no plans to update our rate structure yet. You know, we are about a year and a half to 2 years into a three-year rate update. And so about a year and a half from now, we'll have to look at that a little bit closer. But right now, today, we do have a tiered rate. If you are using between 0 and 11 CCF per month, you have a rate that's around 60 cents a CCF. If you go up to between 11 and 36, it goes up to $1.28, $1.30. And then if you're over 36, you're at around $1.60. The intent is to encourage conservation. Those that are using a lot of water will pay a little bit more, and it is more expensive, that a higher use water, because we have to turn on our wells and more treatment involved and more expense there. But we have a higher cost, and we are encouraging conservation. So I wouldn't say it's a dramatic penalty, but there certainly is incentive to keep your water use down, I think, with that structure.
One of the things REU says is that because of their fixed cost are going up, and that and since people have dropped their kilowatt usage, they're not making the money they need to do that. And I think this is what Charles was getting at, was that, because we have an access fee, right?
Right. We have two fees. We have what we call our meter charge, which is basically the cost of getting water to your door that everybody pays, whether you use any water or not. And that's around $16 a month, $17 a month, I think. And then we tack on that the volumetric charge. So it's similar in nature. Your intent is that you do have cost no matter if you turn the water on or not. People want to have that water available when it's on. And so there is a cost. You still got pipes in the street. You still got to run a treatment plant. You still got to have contracts. You still got to have those employees managing and maintaining the system, whether you use any water or not. And so that cost should be passed along as a fixed cost and not as a volumetric cost.
There was a comment here. I thought there was a California Supreme Court decision that said the water provider couldn't charge more than it costs to provide.
There was a lawsuit down in San Juan Capistrano, and an appellate court judge made a decision regarding tiered water rates. And the intent is that it is compliant with Prop 218, that the tiers that you establish, and they were really out of whack with their tiers, the tiers that you establish do reflect the cost of the commodity that you're providing, and they were not. And so the judge beat that down. There's over two-thirds of the water suppliers in the state of California have tiered water rates, and so everybody's kind of looking at that. San Juan Capistrano is appealing that. The Supreme Court will likely hear it, so it's not anything that's set in stone. We may have to adjust our tiers a little bit if a decision is a final in that area.
Is there anything that says that you can't make a profit? I mean, I don't know if the word profit's right, but if y'all, is it that you can't charge more than it costs to deliver the water? Is there a rule like
that? Well, Prop 218 in general says that when we set our rates, that it has to be consistent with the cost of the service that we're providing. We can't charge more than that and use that money for something else. And we can't charge a certain customer class. For instance, we can't put the burden of running the utility on the residential customer and the commercial customer slide a little bit. We have to, within those classes, the cost of that service has to be applicable and directly relate to the rate.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. The last year we heard there was a lot of news stories and a lot of consternation on the fact that we had a lot of water that was not necessarily going through meters. I think this is the way you put it. Millions of gallons?
Yeah, the water loss is what it was reported at in the record searchlight and elsewhere. But actually what it is water that doesn't go through the meters. Water that we produce that ends up not being on someone else's bill. And so some of that's where we have a pipe break and water is truly lost. Others is where we are flushing the system. For instance, in an enterprise area, we have water quality issues that we regularly out there flushing those pipes, and that water does end up going to the storm drain. We dechlorinate it and send it to the storm drain, so it doesn't go through a meter and it's lost. Our water losses in the last 10-year average around 8%. And that's not a bad number. If you look at the AWWA standard nationwide, any single-digit number is considered acceptable. Where you get up above 10% to 15%, maybe higher, that becomes a problem and much bigger issue.
Well, we've had it come up there, though, in the double digits, right?
We haven't. Last year, at the end of the year, by the end of the year, it was around 8 or 9%. Okay. I think at the start of the year, it was up around 13, 14 when the record searchlight first asked in May, and we had some issues early on in the year that we corrected.
Well, okay. So once it was corrected and it's down to a certain point, because I don't think you could have a perfect system. In other words, every gallon accounted for.
We've got over 500 miles of pipe, thousands of valves. You know, it's tough not to, and some of that pipe is 60, 70, 80 years old. You're going to have water leaks. You're going to have water loss.
That gets us into infrastructure here. Mm-hmm. We've got a bunch of old pipes here in town, right? Some goes back to 100 years old?
Yeah, near 100 years old in that area, both our water and sewer, old infrastructure. You know, people drive the streets at times and say, oh, wow, old streets. You can see the streets. Pipes underneath the streets are similar condition in many regards.
Are we waiting for a catastrophe here?
No, we have an active, very aggressive pipe replacement program, both in our water utility as well as our wastewater utility. For instance, you know, wastewater utility last year, if you're driving down around South Street in Athens, streets were closed as we're replacing pipes in that area. We've got a big water main project up around Magnolia going this year. Year before, we were up West Street. We're going to be up at San Francisco. A lot of our older neighborhoods where we have that older pipe, last year up on Hilltop, we had some fairly big projects where we're out there aggressively replacing old pipe.
So we're not looking at a major malfunction here then in our pipes unless it's something really strange happens.
Absolutely not.
And do we have enough money to do that? Isn't it infrastructure money? Isn't it kind of like, you know, skosh?
Well, we incorporate it into our rate structure. You know, we're not looking at expansions of our system. We're looking at replacement. So most of the cost, your monthly charge, the capital improvements that we're doing are fixing up what's old. And in the water system, that's replacing old pipe. We've got a very old treatment plant up at Foothill up near Manzanita School that we're doing some upgrades to. At some point in time, we're going to have to replace Pump House 1, which is the pump house along the Sacramento River Trail that takes around half of our water out of the river, sends it up to Manzanita and cleans it. So we have within our rate structure that replacement of the pipe and replacement of other infrastructure.
Okay. Our guest is Director of Public Works, Brian Crane. And we've been talking water, and now we're talking sewers and water pipes, which some of them are 100 years old or older, right?
That's correct.
And these are these old clay pipes, right?
Yes.
I mean, we got to take a break now, but does it? I can't imagine these old clay pipes from being here over 100 years old, and they're just right still doing the job in many cases. I mean, are they that? I mean, what makes them so strong?
You know, they don't degrade very easily. They have a they're a material that stood the test of time. Even today, if we have a high industrial use, we'll still want to use clay in many circumstances.
Really?
For instance, with the Stillwater Business Park, when we put that in anticipation that we might get a pretty big industrial customer,
Sorry, excuse me.
We have
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Here, let me turn away when I'm just sitting here chortling. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, but you used –
We used quite a bit of clay pipe out there, yes.
Really? Because yes. It's that good. Yes. Imagine that. Wow. Okay, hey, we got to take a break. It's 8:31 in the morning. It's 75 degrees out there today. It's going up in the 90s. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl Bott.
Been rehearsing, gotten coached, and now the local dancers and their pro partners go on stage at the Cascade Theater Saturday, June 27th for the 9th annual Dancing with the Stars Shasta County Style. This huge fundraising extravaganza for One Safe Place is proudly sponsored by Dignity Health, Record Searchlight, and Shasta Regional Medical Center. Get your tickets now at the Cascade Theater, online at ospshasta.org or at the box office. You think Dancing with the Stars was fun on TV? Wait till you see Dancing with the Stars Shasta County Style. Don't miss it.
By now, I'm sure you're aware of the many advantages solar energy offers you and your family. Clearly, solar is finding its way into our everyday life. Hi, my name is Sue Blake of Powerhouse Solar. At Powerhouse Solar, we've been installing solar systems on North State homes since 2003. It's important to know that all solar is not the same. As a solar contractor, we partner with SunPower because having just celebrated their 30th anniversary in the solar industry, they have a proven track record. SunPower is an American solar company which developed and patented the industry's most efficient solar cells and solar panels on the market for a complete solar energy solution. There are many cost-effective solar packages available, some starting for less than a cup of coffee a day. And we want you to have the information you need so that you know of all the solar options available for your family. Experience and commitment to quality. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park invites you to experience the brand new riparian forest adventure. Explore the forest around Turtle Bay like never before as you travel from the museum to Paul Bunyan Forest Camp. The new riparian forest adventure gives guests a new view and fresh experience with the wonderful world we live in as you make your way to and from the forest camp with interactive and educational activities along the way. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local program in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment today, and I've got retired Army Command Sergeant Major Ted Lighty with me today. Good morning there, Command Sergeant Major.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
Excellent.
It's 8:34 in the morning, and our phone line's here, 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue there. To get a great haircut, you head on down to Cypress Square Barbershop. It is the Cheers of Barbershops, man's last stronghold, discounts for seniors and veterans. It's the manly place to go to get your haircut. And when my friend Rick Hill walks by going to get his haircut at the beauty shop next door. Nobody makes those little kissy sounds at him really anymore.
What? Hey, I've been thinking about
going to
that barbershop.
No, he goes because it's his daughter's. Hey, come on, it's his daughter's beauty salon. She gets, you know, it gets good haircuts.
I'm thinking about going there just to hang out and pay for a haircut because I want to
see
this whole man's last stronghold.
You
want to
see what's going
on?
Hey, man's last stronghold.
That's what I'm saying, man's last stronghold.
It's a good place to go there. Everybody's in there. It's like Cheers. Everybody knows your name. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I do too. Okay, our guest is Reading Public Works Director Brian Crane. We were talking about rates, and the question coming in was about how, you know, why is it charged us for this? The bottom line on this, and we were discussing it during the break, is that during the winter, it costs less money to produce the water or to bring the water to you because we can take it out of the
– We have three water sources basically.
Right.
We pull it out of the Sacramento River. We pull it out of the Spring Creek conduit. And that's all surface water, part of the Central Valley Project
right.
water. That water is relatively cheap compared to our third water source, which is the 17 wells in Enterprise and Cascade. And
which you have to go into
in
during the summer.
Right.
Because there's a lot more water required.
If we just had indoor water use, which is, you know, the 10 to 11 yeah. CCF a month, we could produce water for the city and just use our surface water.
Okay.
But the fact is, during the summertime, we jump up real high and we have to use our wells, and it's okay. more expensive.
And the other part of that is you've got this study going on, and it's in the second of a three-year study or something?
Well, we have second of a third-year rate implementation. So in about another year and a half, we're going to have to update our rates again and look at those. And then we'll have to do a cost-of-service study as part of that. And that cost-of-service is the foundation for what we set our rates at, and that's where Prop 218 will come in.
Right. And if you find that, you know, the cost of doing this is less, you're going to have to adjust your rates.
Absolutely.
Because you can't, because of 218, you can't charge more.
Absolutely.
The one that they were suing at down in Southern California is there was a gross change in the amounts of money they were charging. And it wasn't, and with no reason, nobody could figure out why they were doing it. There's where the lawsuit started.
And that's where the lawsuit started, and that was the decision at the appellate court level.
Okay.
An important message.
Yeah, important. The bottom line is when everybody wants more water, now you've got to get into the wells. Now you've got electricity. Now it does cost more. But does it cost, you know, but how the rates are tiered, we'll find out after the study's up and said, well, you know what? It's going to be less.
Yeah.
Or could be more.
It might be more.
Could be.
Could be. All right.
Before we move on from water, I got one more question.
Okay.
So you don't, not personally and not officially from the city of Reading, but what in your industry, what is the philosophy and attitude of the agencies when people start harnessing that rainwater, which becomes surface water, really, that we use, that everybody kind of shares? I know there's been a lot of controversy surrounding harnessing your own rainwater.
In other words, yeah, you catch it in your cisterns
right,
and use it yourself.
Right. City of Reading and up here, we do not have issue with it. There are some areas where I guess it's got to a point where the streams are not being fed as they should, and the natural resources associated with the streams may be impacted as a result of rain barrels and cisterns and things like that. That hasn't got to a point up here where anybody's really talking about it here in Reading. At least it hasn't got to my desk.
Yeah. Okay, in Oregon they're doing that. You
right.
cannot that yes. water belongs to the state. You can't hold it in a cistern to use for yourself. That's tough.
Well, that is tough, and it kind of goes back to what Charles was talking about. Because then somehow there will have to be a penalty for using less water because you're collecting it from the surface area.
Well, then the penalty, I'd say that you want to make sure that the fixed component of your rate is truly reflective of what it costs to get your water there. And we're pretty close with our rate. We're a little bit shy on that. The fixed component is a little bit less than what it probably mm-hmm. needs to be if just to get water to your door. But we're much closer than, say, for instance, RU and their adjustment. But
yeah.
their adjustment, believe me, I believe it's appropriate. I mean, it is in order for you to flick on the switch and get electricity, you need to have that fixed component of your rate at that number to make that service available.
Okay, so and I want to go into the wastewater, but the last thing on this is, what if you conserved a lot this last year? Okay, here's your baseline. Then you get married, or you bring in your grandkids or something for the year, and now you go up. Are you going to get penalized for that? Is there a way of saying, hey, wait a minute?
City of Reading is not looking at individual accounts. We're
okay.
we're achieving our conservation by the three
overall.
Days a week and just looking at our customers to cut back. There's some other districts in the state that are truly getting down to individual customers and giving you an allocation based upon last year's use. Our thinking at the City of Reading was, well, that's not fair. There are people that have done very good for years, and their next-door neighbor has used a whole lot of water, and if we cut them both 36%, who wins? The one that's done very good is going to be killing stuff. The one that's 36% has, or that's been using a whole lot of water, has plenty of room to slide.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know what? This is common sense.
Yeah.
Better watch out, Brian. Hey, yeah. Okay, the wastewater. You had something is that there's ways of replacing.
Yeah, pipes. we are talking about our old pipes and old crack pipes. We have what's called infill and infiltration, where water is getting into those and getting to our treatment plant and costing a lot of money to treat that. We have a program in place for if you have a house that's over 40 years old and your pipe from the house to the street, it's a private lateral, if it's 40 years old and it has a leaking issue, a clogging issue, we will help you replace it up to $5,000 of the cost. It's part of a program that kind of was mandated on us by the Regional Water Quality Control Board. We have around $800,000 available for that. We're partway into the program. So, again, the intent is that there's an environmental issue and there's a cost issue right. associated with that inflow and infiltration. A big part of that is the private laterals, those old clay pipes that are from the house to the street that are cracked and broken and letting all that rainwater in and other water in. An example is when we...
How would we know that, Ron? Would we call you up and say, hey, can you come check
absolutely.
This? Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. You can go onto our website, readyutilities.com, and right on that front page, there's a link to what's called the PLUS program, and you can get in there and find out more information. There's contact information with that. And again, to start with, if you know your house is 40 years or older, you probably have a problem, and you can start with just that basic information.
Okay. That's, you know, I think it would be a good idea, because you all do this, is go out and see if you've got leaks in your pipes. Because
absolutely.
You just have to do is turn off every bit of water in your house and look at your water.
And that's on the water side. And
on the water side.
Wastewater, yeah. You know, would be right. similar to some extent. If you've got water going from your lateral into the storm drain, going through your clean out, and you see it and there's nothing happening in your house, then you probably have some leak somewhere.
Oh, okay. Well, it might be a good idea then to be able to save money. And right now, the city's going to help you replace your pipes.
That's right.
Of course, if this is like a $15,000 pipe repair bill, that $5,000, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and many people are already experiencing problems. It's not just inflow. They've got clogged pipes, and they've got backups, and they've got Roto-Rooter out there every week, and so they're really scrambling. And so this opportunity is a good one for them to not only take care of a personal problem that they live in their home, but also something that we can benefit from as the utility by not having as much water.
Okay, so this is where the wastewater goes, and I believe that's in the back of my house that goes on down to the street. Yeah. I understand that. Okay. Hey, that's a good deal. Brian Crane's our guest. Now, let's start, you know, talk a little bit about do roads and infrastructure, and also public transportation. So let's talk about RABA. Where's the future of RABA?
Reading Area Bus Authority is we think, important to our community. We have a lot of people out there that either one, can't drive because they can't afford to, or B, because they physically aren't able to drive, or see just mentally. And so having a system in place to allow them to get to the doctor, to their job, to shopping is important from our perspective. So I think it's a basic function of us as a society to provide some sort of public transportation. That's what Reading Area Bus Authority does. It also, if there are those that don't want to, for reasons they don't want to own a car, they want a bike or walk, this provides, meets that need also. You know, it's not as robust as some of the bigger cities in that we generally are at best operating around hour headways. I think we have a few that are half hour, but we're not having a bus every 5 minutes. It doesn't go everywhere in town, but it does, I think, provide that basic structure during most of the week. We don't operate late at night. We don't operate on Sundays, but it does provide that basic need for those that can't get themselves around.
Does the I know you run out the airport road to does it drop stop at REU and their new offices?
It does.
How many people ride out there?
Yeah, quite a few actually on that route, because it not only stops at REU, it stops at the airport, and we have a number of the IASCO flight training pilots that are using that live in town and go to the airport. But we've had a increase in the customer base also now that REU has moved out there, and those are going out to pay their bill also.
I would wonder how many people used to come in downtown to REU, and then how many people are going out there now once they moved out there.
Yeah, I think the numbers are down. I don't know that for sure. I've heard I don't have numbers, but
I just it just makes sense is that there's going to be a lot less of them. I mean, yeah. How many times does a bus run out there? you know, to the airport, make that run? How many routes?
I don't have that off the top of my head.
Three or okay. Yeah. No, I'm just, it was because when Barry Tippin was here and they said they were doing it, I said, well, what about customers like that you see, you know, all the time? How are they going to get out there? And he mentioned something about having kiosk here in town, which I haven't seen. So I was just wondering. Yeah. Something maybe to check on. Okay, so RABA is for the, you know, we lose money on RABA, right? We as a city?
Well, not as a city necessarily. The money that we get is Transportation Development Act money. That's the biggest funding source. We also get federal transit assistance money, FTA money. So there is outside money that comes in. We don't, our general fund does not support it. Our rates for other things do not support it. It is state and federal transit money that comes to our area and then is largely targeted for RABA. Now, there's the state portion that if we don't have a transit need, we can use it for other stuff. And so between the county and the three cities, we keep our transit agency relatively lean so that there is some money left over for what we can use for streets and roads and other things.
Okay. We got to take a break here. Director of Public Works, Brian Crane, is our guest. Command Sergeant Major Ted Lighty is with me today, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us East Side Road off of 273.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Hi, this is Aaron Walton, branch manager at Plumas Bank here in Reading. As a proud sponsor of the Colt 45 summer baseball season, we know how important it is to support our community and local businesses. Plumas Bank is here to help you and your business succeed. Give us the opportunity to earn your business. We're located at the corner of Cypress and Civic Center Drive, across from City Hall, and just down the street from the ball field. We can come to you. Call us today at 246-2364.
Plumas Bank, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment today. I have retired Command Sergeant Major Ted Leidy here from Northern Firearms Institute. Instruction.
Well, yeah, as one of our instructors, I think you probably get that right.
Well, luckily you sewed mine upside down so I could just look down and read it on the shirt. Okay, right. Classes all the time.
You teach
7 or 8 counties around here?
Yeah, we have been teaching. We're averaging 60 or 70 people a month in the state. Mm-hmm. We have Redding and the surrounding counties, but then we have Sacramento and the surrounding counties. And then down in Dublin, we're teaching also, mostly in our instructor classes down there. But a lot of private classes this time of year because people can't make public classes on the weekends. They got too much stuff going on, graduations and weddings and stuff. So
how do they get a hold of you?
999-1822 or readingccw.com.
There you go. Our guest is Reading Public Works Director Brian Crane. And, I was going to talk about something else, but Brian brought it up, so I'm ready for it now. Non-motorized traffic.
Transportation.
Now, the big one is, and there's letters every day in the Record Search Light about the Riverfront Road. Is that Riverfront?
Riverside Drive.
The one there that cuts between Market Street and Boulevard.
Court Street and basically right there
between the river and Market there.
Right.
Along the river where the Department of Transportation's at.
Right.
And plus other people's homes.
Right.
And
the foot of California Street, yeah.
Yeah. And they're it says something about closing the street off or parts of the street off.
Well, no decision has been made. Right. All that really has happened is that we've submitted an application for a grant for a project. And the project includes providing non-motorized transportation corridor, basically from Diesel Horse Bridge to downtown. If you look at our river trail system, it's amazing. We do not have good connections from that to downtown. We're working on connections to where people live, where they work, and that's one connection that we really fall short on is getting people from the river trail to downtown. So the idea is Diesel Horse Bridge, where there's good parking, get them to downtown. There's a corridor. Bring them up Court Street. Bring them along Riverside Drive. Hang a right on Center. Go past Girondos. Hang a left on Division. Get to California, and you're there. And so, but it's relatively sleepy streets. Part of that project does include from Court Street to in front of Caltrans, right on Riverside Drive. In the past, we've looked at trying to have a separate bike path from the roadway. We have to go under the railroad trestle. In the transportation world, railroad's king. You cannot do anything without railroad permission. And what railroad has told us, if you're going to put a bike path underneath the railroad trestle, you got to put a cover on it. And we're looking at a few $100,000 just to get a bike path underneath the railroad trestle. So that's an alternative still. We can spend
so
that
So you would close the road there at Court Street except for bicycles.
Well, that's an alternative. If we have a separate path and we put a cover on it, we don't have to close the road.
Okay. All right.
We could also close the road, maybe just close one lane and keep one lane open. That way we don't have to deal with the railroad. We've got it.
Or make it a one
road.
So it'd be a one way.
Or we can close the whole thing, or we can do nothing. And so the idea behind potentially closing it, just again, no decision has been made. We will do traffic studies and bring it to the public and seek input. But the idea kind of behind closing it is right now a lot of that traffic is cut through. I worked in that Caltrans building for a number of years.
Yeah.
And you look at the traffic volumes and the speeds on that narrow road, it's pretty significant. You've got over 3,000 cars a day, and most of it is traffic.
There's 3,000 cars a day go on that?
Well,
on that.
Around 2,900 cars a day that go on that roadway.
They go through that Riverside.
That's amazing.
Right?
Yes.
Well, no, you know what? You think about it, that's where I cut through there a lot. What about the businesses on that street?
Well, there are businesses. Caltrans is very good. They are the business on that, really. And Caltrans is good with closing it. If you go down a little bit further, there's a bed and breakfast, a couple bed and breakfasts.
A law firm, CPAs, all
right.
On that street.
Right. And bed and breakfast has provided support. I don't know how much we've talked with the CPA office, but they would still have a parking lot, still have access from one direction. They just wouldn't have it from both. there's been accidents at the top of the hill. You know, if you come through that underneath that railroad trestle and come up the hill, you kind of got a curve. It's narrow.
Yeah.
Caltrans has a big parking lot with a lot of people coming out. There's been a few accidents there. You know, that street was really not purposed for having that sort of cut through traffic. And really where it started to happen was when we built the bridge across the Sacramento River, the new bridge, the Court Street Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
The intent was to provide connection between Lake Redding area and Eureka Way. I think the cut-through traffic was a result of that, though, an offshoot, when really the people that live in Lake Redding or have a house up on Quartz Hill Road still can use Court Street or Quartz Hill mm-hmm. Road and come out to market, or then go up a little bit further and use Eureka Way, or then go down a little bit further and use Shasta or Placer or Tehama. There's other ways to get to downtown, and you're saving 15 seconds, a minute, you know, by using Riverside Drive. And so you've put all this traffic that's on a largely residential with Caltrans there also.
How can the bed and breakfast like this if it's shut down?
Well, the bed and breakfast, because they don't have this high speed, high volume of traffic.
But
going
how,
reduce
people,
the
how
noise.
Do people get in? How
oh,
do
they
people
still
get in?
It would only be shut down from Court Street to the edge of Caltrans.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
So just that section. So you'd still be able to come in from Market Street and come all the way up to Caltrans and come into a parking lot there in front of Caltrans and hit the accountants you mentioned. They'd be able to hang a left on Center Street and go down towards Durando's. You'd still have all that open. It's just that section from Caltrans to Court Street.
It's a little more.
Get rid of the cut through.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah, if we go down through that neighborhood, it's pretty quiet. You've got California Street where I grew up.
How many bikes do we have, really? That are using this. I mean, we closed down California Street, took away a lane there, and then Pine Street. I never see, and this is during the year, I don't see bikes on these streets.
Yeah, we don't have
people pushing grocery carts.
We don't have good counts. You know, the only thing I can say off the top of my head is that last month was Bike Month, and the intent is nationwide to encourage bicycle use. The City of Redding entered a national bike challenge. As part of many cities entered it.
Uh-huh.
The Healthy Shasta, who organized the Shasta County
effort.
Yeah,
we backed that. We pushed that too.
Right. Well, they were targeting 500 bikers. They were hoping to get 500 people to sign up for this challenge. They got 650. If you look at the number of miles that were achieved here, for our size of city in the United States, we were number four in the nation for those 2 weeks. You know, so the bike use, I think, and I've seen it's up. We don't have good numbers, but it is up, we think.
Okay. I've got 2 minutes left. I'm going to go to the phones, but it's got to be like a real quick question. Terry.
The bike lane that is coming north to south in front of Wind River Mini Mart, there's a bike lane that is in between two car lanes. I live over on this side of town. I have never seen anyone ever use that bike lane. It looks like it could be the bike lane of death.
Okay.
It's right in between,
two
lanes. I'd like to explain why in the world they did it that way. Because most people will walk their bike across and use the sidewalk where it is safe.
Okay, Terry. Thanks. You know which way he's talking about?
I'm not exactly sure, but what I suspect is that...
and this was a Caltrans thing, right? This was city?
Well, I think he's talking about Bonneville itself. And if you come to an intersection, oftentimes, if you're in that bike lane on the outside and you've got a right turn lane, instead of forcing that bike into the right turn lane, we allow them to go across, and there's a narrow little lane between the right turn lane and the through lane that gets you through the intersection.
Okay.
And that's pretty much a standard statewide, nationwide.
Well, it's right down here in California Street like that, too, and you take a right up to Placer. You've got to get into through the bike lane to do that.
Right.
Okay. Brian Crane, thanks a lot for being here. There's a lot more questions, but this, you know, I'd really like to get into it sometime if it's you or one of your people here to talk about the automobile or non-motorized transportation, because I think there's a lot of questions here about it. I'm all for that. I'd like to see that happen, but in such a way as that it doesn't impact on businesses and everything.
Absolutely. Be happy to come
Thanks
back.
A lot for coming by, Brian.
Yep, thank you.
Appreciate
for having
that. And
Brian, good seeing you, my friend,
yep,
again.
Very good. Thank you.
And appreciate your leadership.
Yep, thank you.
Ted, thanks so much for coming by today.
You bet.
Tomorrow, I got Trish Clark's with me, and we've got hopefully Debbie Sprague, who is just a leader in treating post-traumatic stress disorder for our veterans. So we'll be back tomorrow. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Investigators still don't know what caused last month's deadly Amtrak derailment in Philadelphia, but they have ruled out one possible cause. They say the train's engineer was not on his cell phone just before the accident. The NTSB says it has found no calls, texts, or data usage on Brandon Bostian's phone during the time that he was driving the train. At least 18 people injured, a bus crash inside the Lincoln Tunnel between New York City and New Jersey. Authorities say one bus ran into another inside the center tube on the New York side of the tunnel. Still no sign of the two convicted killers who escaped from the maximum security prison in Dannemora, New York. Bounty hunter Michael Roldan says when you're out to recapture an escapee, no clue is too small or insignificant. And you can't ignore the fugitive's friends and relatives.
I'm going to be looking at everybody close to them.